Yes, well, have you got a cat at home? Do you know what to do if your cat isn't going to the toilet properly? Do you know what that looks like? Is it something that you pay a lot of attention to? Why should we? Dr. Caitlin Henning is with us, who is a vet at Orange Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Henning, thanks for joining us.
Lovely to be back. Thanks, Alex.
So tell us a bit about what the obstruction, like a urinary tract obstruction, is.
Yeah, so it's one of the true medical emergencies in vet practice, to be honest. So essentially a urinary obstruction means that your cat's not able to go to the toilet. Mm. And most commonly we see that due to a blockage in the urethra, which is the tube from the bladder to the outside world. Occasionally it's from a blockage in the bladder itself. So something like a stone or a mass can cause that. And it'll result in them, you know, straining to go to the toilet, and they may be vocalizing and meowing more than normal when they're trying to go. And it can range from them producing tiny little drops in the early stages to a complete obstruction where they can't produce anything. And it's really serious. It's life-threatening.
Okay. So, I mean, you mentioned a couple of things, but I imagine that there is probably some initial symptoms to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, definitely. So early sort of stages, I suppose, you'd be looking out for them going to the litter tray more often than usual.
Okay.
And a lot of the time that looks like they're actually constipated. But if you pay close attention, you'll notice they might be pooing normally still. Mm. And it's actually the urine that's struggling to get out. And so if you notice they're just a bit unsettled, they're constantly back and forth, you may see little puddles in the litter tray that are smaller than usual, sometimes even around the house, because there's that urgency and kind of discomfort there. Mm. Occasionally they get to the stage where they're not eating or they're just a bit off. As well, you may see some blood in their urine if you're able to look at it, and that kind of thing as well.
So you mentioned that it can be blocked just in the tract or actually in the bladder. Is it more serious if there's a blockage in the bladder?
They're both pretty serious, to be honest. Okay. So it sort of depends, I suppose, what's causing the blockage. So it ranges, as I said, from stones and masses to the most common that we actually see is sort of stress-related spasm of the urethra, the tube, and sometimes a little mucus plug that can sit there as well. And that's, yeah, as I said, the most common that we see, and the ones that we can, you know, do a fair bit about at home to help manage after the fact as well.
Okay, well let's talk a bit about that. So if your cat is too stressed, then it can impact the urinary tract?
Definitely. And it's not always the sort of stress that we would expect to see. Cats tend to show their stress very differently to humans or dogs or other animals. And it might be, you know, the most minor thing that you don't realize is going to stress your cat out that could. So obviously, you know, the obvious ones being parties, fireworks, lots of people at the house, but it can go so far as, you know, a new baby or a new pet, moving house, construction nearby, stray cats passing the windows, and then the more subtle sort of insidious ones, I suppose, as things like changing their diet too quickly, changing the type of litter that you're using in their box, or not having adequate numbers of litter boxes around.
Hmm. Speaking of that, is there a kind of a general rule as to how many litter boxes you should have per cat?
Yeah, definitely. So the general rule of thumb is the number of litter boxes should be equal to the number of cats plus one. So if you've got two cats, you should have three litter boxes.
In different areas,
preferably spread around the house in private spots so that they can decide, you know, if one's dirty, they can go to another. Mm. If one's too busy and loud that day, they can go to a different one and have that option.
Oh, cats, they are very particular, aren't
they?
Very
finicky.
I mean, who doesn't love two toilets in the house though, right?
Exactly.
16 minutes after 9 on ABC Central West and Western Plains, Dr. Caitlin Henning is with us. Do you have a cat? And do you have enough litter boxes? We're talking a bit about the kind of things that impact the urinary tract, which I know sounds a bit strange, but it comes down, it's not just diet. It can actually just be stress. And so anything that stresses a cat out, like even just seeing a stray cat by the window, can impact them. Are there other things outside of stress that can have an impact on cats this way?
Yeah, definitely. So weight is a big one. So if you're cat is overweight, they're definitely at higher risk of getting these urinary obstructions. Even just simple things such as how they're born. So young to middle-aged male cats are by far the highest risk category.
Mm.
If they're not castrated yet and so not desexed, that also increases that risk, but it does happen in desexed cats too. Diet. So, having them on a wet food diet can reduce their risk. It helps with their hydration, encouraging good water intake, etc., to help sort of dilute out any crystals that may form that can then lead to forming stones. They'd be probably the biggest ones outside of stress that we see. Yeah.
Okay. So then, so I guess this is the most important question for cat owners. Then what can we do? So we take the cat in, what happens next?
Yep. So if you've noticed that straining, et cetera, and you bring them into the vets, then if it's at that earlier stage where they are still passing urine, but it's difficult, then usually we'll try and get onto that quickly with some medications to relieve the inflammation and the pain that's associated and de-stress. So some anxiety medications are very common. And you know, depending on, I guess, what the underlying cause is, we've got to sort of investigate that. So we'll test the urine, look for crystals, look for inflammation, infection, and we often recommend doing some x-rays as well, because we can see the stones on x-rays quite commonly, or an ultrasound. So lots of options there. And then I suppose, you know, if it's at the stage where they're fully blocked, it actually requires them, you know, staying in hospital for a little bit, having that blockage relieved with a catheter. And then usually they stay in hospital with some fluids and ongoing therapies, depending how severe they were on presentation as to whether they need other things as well.
Can it be fatal?
It definitely can. So if we leave this too long, essentially what happens is they get a potassium buildup in their blood, which is one of the, you know, most life-threatening components of this disease. And essentially that destabilizes the heart's conduction and electrical activity.
Oh, wow.
And it can lead to sudden heart stoppage. So it's really important to pick up on the signs early and get them in as soon as you can, so that that doesn't happen and so that they don't actually rupture their bladder either.
Okay. So then talking about the preventative things, as I think you mentioned, the reducing the stress part's very important. So having two litter boxes, but then also, I mean, are there other things, like you mentioned, you know, having too many people over or fireworks or construction, are there preventative things we can do to, I don't know, give them a safe space or something like that?
Definitely. Having good hidey holes and whether that's a box, whether it's a favorite bed, whether it's just a room that is shut away from people that they can escape to and that they're not disturbed when they're there. So it's important that if your cat does have that safe space that they like to go, you're not reaching in there and patting them and giving them cuddles when they don't really want it, and learning to read their body language. And, you know, if the tail's swishing and the ears are down, they're probably not in the mood for a play right now.
As much as you want
as it. As much as you want it. It's very hard sometimes. So that's important. And, you know, making sure they've got good enrichment around the house to sort of, you know, use those cat behaviors. So vertical scratching posts, vertical perches, and lots of sort of hunting like toys, if they're not going outside and that kind of thing. If they do have these sort of flare-ups around stressful times, then definitely chatting to your vet about whether there are situational medications we can use, or even, you know, synthetic pheromones and sort of nutraceuticals that can help to relieve that stress for a short period so that they don't then go on to develop complications.
Well, this has been very interesting, Dr. Henning. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. That's Dr. Caitlin Henning there from Orange Veterinary Hospital.